Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, August 10th. We're back with you. Tori's here with me.
What up, guys?
Yes. And it's a beautiful morning, huh? I mean, yeah. It's not too hot. It's been very nice out here.
It's a nice, cool, crisp day.
Yes. So there you go. If you're not in LA, eat your heart out. Can't beat this weather, although it does get hot here.
Yes.
So how you doing, Tori?
I'm doing very well.
Yes. Good morning to
good
you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. We're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. We're going to talk to her about a book that she wrote on the sensitive subject of sexual abuse. So we're going to talk about that, and that should be – it'll be pretty heavy probably, but we talk to everybody here, folks, so you never know. Mm-hmm. You just never know.
I'm sure I'll find a way to make an inappropriate joke.
Right.
As a stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah?
That's good.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So you do, like stand up around town?
I sure do.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So why don't you promote it? Where can people find you?
Well, it's on.
I'll come and watch you.
Trust me. Once I have something, I will do it. August 29th, I'm at Flappers. I do the Comedy Store and I do Flappers a lot and I do the Lyric. I've done the Ice House. It's a great.
Wow. So you've been all over.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've done it for about 4 years. Uh-huh. And some people say it would be the scariest thing in their whole wide world. And I'm like, it's the best feeling in the whole wide world.
Really? Yeah. For you, it's a natural.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Wow. Very nice.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm hilarious.
Yeah. Did you always feel that you wanted to get into comedy?
100,000 million.
Really?
No, from the second I was born.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
very
weird.
Cool. I know. I mean, comedy is fun, you know. I just don't think I could hold a routine for more than a few minutes.
Well, it's interesting because if you're bombing, it's probably like the worst feeling in the world. And you have to, it's like, you know, I watched the Olympics and a girl fell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's gotta be the worst. So I was like, when you're bombing, there's nothing worse than that
nothing
feeling.
Nothing worse.
But when you're killing it, oh my God, nothing better.
Right, that's true.
Ugh.
But you're standing on there and you're bombing and you just figure that, my God, it's gonna be the longest evening of my life.
It's
right?
And it's only like 6 minutes. And you're like, please go faster.
God, I can't imagine,
no.
Man. That would be bad.
Right.
That would be really bad. I remember once when this show was 2 hours. One time, my co-host didn't come in. I knew she wasn't coming in. I thought, you know what? I'm going to wing it myself.
Oh.
Right? So I get everything ready and a lot of material and stuff. I went through it all in 15 minutes.
What?
And then what am I supposed to do, you know? So I know I'm not meant to do things alone,
no.
You know?
That's the thing. When you're up there, it's very alone. And what's interesting as a stand-up is you can't see the audience. It's black. So literally, it's you on stage with lights in your eyes. And then blackness.
Right.
So you don't see the audience very well. And if you do, you kind of have to step into the light. So it's odd because it almost feels like you're doing it alone in like a black room.
Right.
So I just pretend I'm in the shower and I'm killing it. I always practice in the
shower.
Sounds
a lot like radio where you don't
totally.
See anybody, you know?
Exactly.
Wow.
It's very,
very
interesting.
Cool, yeah. So, I mean, do you bomb sometimes?
I rarely bomb because I have very likable, relatable jokes.
Oh, okay.
I think I also do a lot of good crowd work because I'm an improviser, so I learned how to work the crowd. And I think I'm pretty natural on stage. But when I see someone bomb, like I always say to see the other comics, I'm always like, ha, 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 come on, people.
You try
I'm
to
a
make
big
it
cheerleader.
Feel good,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, it's just dreadful. But, it, you know, yeah. But it's a fun scene. It's a lot of strong, independent women, fierce women in comedy right now.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So it's very
It's worth seeing, huh?
Oh, yeah. And women are killing it, I gotta say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, are you on I see you are on YouTube, right? I'm looking up your name. You're there.
So
can we hear a little bit of this?
Oh, great. Let's see.
Let's see. Okay. There's a lot of stuff here.
Oh, jeez. There's Tipsy Tori. Are you looking at that? Is that what you're saying?
Me see if I'll find
it. It's a show I host at home where I just get tipsy and give you tips.
Oh, really?
And it's like a minute long. It's wonderful. And there's a theme song. That's what you should play.
So it's called Tipsy Tori?
Yes.
Okay. But wait a minute. There's Tori Shulman here. Maybe... let's see. Maybe there's a few things here. This is your channel, okay? So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
Tipsy Tori.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Take back sent email.
Or, yeah, do one of the other ones.
Oh, the other ones?
I like the other ones.
Keep cables organized or make hard tacos easy.
Yeah, yeah, that hard tacos.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to listen to Tori doing a bit here. And let's see how hilarious she is.
Oh, jeez.
She's Tipsy Tori and she's got your back. On the daily with the best life hacks.
This is so
she's
bad.
Drinking wine coolers, sometimes beers. But she's only here to help and she's serious about it. So shut up.
It's taco night and you're starving because you fasted for the entire week. Well, maybe you've tried to sneak one or two snacks.
See, it's funny because I'm stuffing my face or something.
Oh, okay, so you have to watch.
Yeah, you gotta
watch.
Yeah.
You're prepared
no
with your elastic pants and your Tums in pocket.
The Tums.
It's a good great Spanish guitar.
Very effective.
Yeah.
Everything is on point. You've got your buzz on. The only thing left to do is to stuff your taco.
Yeah.
You know when you're stuffing your taco and it keeps flip-flopping around
the
like a shitty politician? It's a mess, man.
So here's how to rocko your taco without the meso.
You get a fork.
Yes.
You insert that fork into the taco. Just so. That's
wow.
Right. And voila.
Yeah, you guys have to watch
taco
this.
Stand. Now you can stuff your taco with everything under the sun. Grab some red vine.
That's a good tip, folks.
Yeah.
You gotta check it out.
There you go, guys.
Wow. Now, what about one of the stand-ups? Do you have any stand-ups here at all?
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Well, I did see something. You have your show reel or something. Is that
my stand-up reel? Yeah.
Yeah, your stand-up reel.
Yeah.
Okay, but it just disappeared, so let me go back. And find it. You had something on with like sardines or something. What's that
about?
Oh,
yeah. So my Instagram is Doors and Sardines.
Doors and Sardines. That's right. What is that about?
And Tumblr is also, if you're interested. Tumblr, a lot of people like Tumblr. It's Doors and Sardines as well. So Doors and Sardines is a line from a play. If you guys know this play, you got to tweet me at I am Doris
Really?
Shulman. So it's called Noises Off. And it became a really great movie with Carol Burnett and John Ritter and Christopher Reeve and Mary Lou Henner and Nicolette Sheridan and Michael Caine.
Wow.
And it's about a play and the actors, but it's you see them backstage doing the play, and there's and it's all farce. It's all farce, and doors are opening and doors are shutting, and people are tripping and people are falling, and it's just probably my number one second favorite movie. Anyway, in it they have a line about doors and sardines because she has a plate of sardines, and it's all about getting it on and off, and the doors in, and people are farce, and he says. That's all that life is. It's doors and sardines. Getting the doors on, getting the doors out, getting the sardines on, and that's life. That's theater. That's life. That's farce.
Right.
So I just love that idea because it's really great. If you haven't seen it, Noises Off. You're welcome.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty cool.
And it was started as on Broadway. Now it's back. Andrea Martin is playing the main Carol Burnett part, but it's a play and it's amazing. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, let's. I found a little bit of your stand-up
with
Flappers here.
Oh, geez.
So let's listen to that.
Something off my chest. I just want to start off with a clean slate. I had an intense, long obsession with someone that went too long. And it was dark, and it was wrong. And I know that now, and obviously this person was Seabiscuit. And I mean, it just was like crazy. This was before the movie when I had like the black and white photographs and like the Santa Anita recordings, like the weird shit, like the memorabilia. So when the movie came out, this guy I always had a crush on, he comes over to me and he's at the office and he's like, hey, you want to grab some dinner and maybe go see that movie you're always talking about, See Trisket? You want me to go with you to see Trisket? Yeah, we could go together, whatever. Well, first of all, it's the fucking biscuit. The biscuit. Don't insult the horse. And second of all, I would love to. I love sashimi, so we can.
Yeah.
He was hot.
That's pretty funny stuff.
I do like Seabiscuit. Thanks.
Good for you. So, how often do you perform around?
Like, probably I used to do it about like once or twice a week, and then to be honest, like I would go out and like I'd have drinks and then I'd have dinner, and it was like costing me a huge amount of money, and I was drinking a lot, and I was like, man, so and I wasn't like loving it anymore. Because you are alone. You're very alone, and the comics are very in their own mind. So I was trying to make friends, and like everyone's kind of in their own head.
Right.
So anyway, I like improv probably a little bit better, and like being with someone is a little easier for me.
Yeah.
So I sort of back down a little bit, but I still do it about once a week, probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm going to catch you.
Hell yeah.
Are you usually on the weekends? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store. I'll send you a whole thing and I'll announce it.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys can find out more if you go to, you have a website,
right? Yeah, ToriShulman.com, y'all.
ToriShulman.com.
The headshot looks, I look real skinny in it. I don't look that skinny anymore, but I look good.
Well, everybody changes, you know. But no, I mean, you know, I mean, look, people go up and down all the time. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain. I think you're looking fine.
Thank you.
And you have nothing to be ashamed
of. Girl.
So in a couple of minutes, our guest is going to call in. We're going to talk to Elena Gorski, and you're going to find out everything from her. You know, phone guests is a lot faster and briefer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know when we have someone on the show, when they're in the studio, we have a lot of time to find out everything about them. But on the phone, it's 15 minutes. You got to catch everything. So we'll do the best we can, like
we're
we always
do.
Yeah. Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
Oh, yes. Last night was Michael Phelps and the gymnasts.
Right.
Oh, the best.
I know. And the diving, too. I like the diving.
I love the diving.
Isn't that cool, though?
I love the idea that someone's like, let's not have one diver, but two.
Yeah.
Synchronized. Like, who came up with that?
Sport? I know, right?
It's so random. But Phelps was great. He won, and then he shook his little finger. Uh-huh. And then he goes like this, give me more.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, hell
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's not as young as his.
No, he's got a baby.
Competitors,
I
right?
Know. He's, yeah. Yeah, he came back out of retirement.
But did you see at the end? He totally could not move anymore coming out of the pool and stuff.
He was done.
He was done.
He was done. He had two races within 1 hour of each other.
Really?
And yeah, and the butterfly looks like possibly the most movement you could do with your body at
it's
one time.
Hard.
I mean, I can't. Who came up with that stroke?
Right.
Who's like, this is going to work? Sorry. But anyway, he did that and then a relay, so he was tired.
Wow.
Yeah. He eats like 12,000 calories a day.
Really?
Yeah, he has like 8 breakfasts. He has bacon. Because he used it so much, and I'm like, I should go swimming.
No, definitely, you got to work off all those calories,
God.
You know.
He stuffs his face. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. It's funny. Did you notice yesterday, at least in the diving, the water was not as blue as
it usually is. No, it turned green.
So they're saying that algae caused that.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
I mean, they're showing the pool. It's all green and
stuff.
It
literally went overnight from a blue to a green, and people didn't know why.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
God.
I know. I was thinking to myself, I didn't realize what it was, and I thought, why is the pool green?
I thought it was for Rio because of the mascot. They should have just said that.
Yeah, right.
It's just because of the mascot.
Yeah. It was reflected in the water.
Like, I would dive right out of that arena if it was green.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, here comes our guest now, so we're going to go ahead and talk to her now. We're going to talk to Elena Gorski. Are you on the line with us, Elena?
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you for calling in. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm actually calling you guys from Western Washington State, up in the Pacific Northwest.
Right on.
Oh, wow. Is that where you grew up?
That's where I grew up, partially. I was a military brat, so I moved around a bit.
Mm. Oh, you moved around quite a bit. Wow.
I hate that military brat part, but it's kind of a fun little...
Right? Yeah, a lot of people move around a lot, but I can't imagine... Was it hard for you to make friends when you move around a lot, Elena?
Honestly, after so many schools, it wasn't. It just became kind of natural. I just kind of expected it. It helped me grow.
Yeah,
I bet, because you have to be thrown into it so many times. You get used to it pretty... You adapt, I bet.
Yeah, I finished up school at home, though, so... I went to, I think, 13 schools total in all of my years from kindergarten through high school. So
Wow. Yeah.
What was your favorite mascot? Do you have a favorite mascot from a school?
I don't. I didn't mention anything specific in my book, so I'm not going to really go into that for a privacy reason.
Totally.
Okay, sounds good. So, Elena, you wrote a book called The Newfound Legacy, and this is a memoir of your life. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of a memoir, but like a journal.
Oh, it's like a journal. Okay. And you're, from what I understand, you wrote to us, you're 18 now?
Yes, I am newly 18, like 2 months 18.
Ooh, happy birthday.
And wrote the book when I was 17.
Yeah, so you're an adult now. There you go. You know, it's funny how, you know, you write, I may be only 18, but, and I'm thinking, God, I wish I was 18 again, you know? So everybody, I'm like, yeah, I know I'm 56, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it's better to say I'm still 18 and have a lot to look forward to. So, Elena, so tell us a little bit about your book. What is it about? The Newfound Legacy.
The Newfound Legacy is actually in honor of my biological father, who passed away when I was 10 years old.
When you were 10?
In his handprint is the symbol of the book. Mm. That's what I'm holding on the cover.
Mm.
It's about loss at a young age after I experienced child abuse and then bullying to follow the loss of him, and changing the stigma surrounding that by telling my story and making it less of a taboo subject.
Yeah. So you've had a tough childhood, obviously.
I did, but it was kind of a confusing childhood as well, because I lived with my mom and stepdad, who are not abusive.
Right.
But when I went to visit my dad with his sister, who is my abuser, she was. So it was a really confusing childhood.
Yeah, wow. So his sister, so this was your aunt?
Yes, she's mentioned as Aunt Bree in the book, but that is a changed name.
Oh, okay.
There are names that are changed.
Right.
So you would go to your aunt, and were you there alone with her sometimes?
Not typically all alone, but I was the oldest out of the kids that usually were there. There was about five of us, and two of them went with their other parents. It was a divorced family kind of put into one. And then there was myself, my sister Marissa, and two younger kids. So I was the oldest out of that group that was typically there.
So you felt in charge in some ways.
Yeah, I guess there's a line in my book that says I felt like I was forced to grow up in the body of a child, but forced to grow up in 20 years in a single day.
Wow.
And that's kind of how it felt most of the time.
Wow.
I felt like I had to just grow up, even when I was, you know, I was between 7 and 9, so I was pretty young.
That's you don't know what the hell's going on at that age. Wow.
No.
Do you have strong memories? Are they hazy or are they pretty vivid for you?
Unfortunately, I have an anxiety disorder similar to autism, so I have a very vivid photographic memory.
Wow.
And was actually able to go back and write in the first part of my book a first-hand account as if it was in the now.
Wow.
So some of my memories are incredibly vivid, and others are run together or kind of mixed up.
Right. I have a similar photo memory, and it's, you can't not forget. It's incredibly hard. It's very vivid.
Wow.
I can imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it tears at your soul, you know. So, and this is interesting because this was a woman that abused you. I mean, it's not as common, but wow. So now, was this an ongoing thing, or did that just happen once?
It happened more times than we actually know. We don't really know the number of times specifically.
Right.
We've counted over 10 isolated instances.
Wow.
But it happened when I visit my dad and he would go to work. Or I had a zinc deficiency and I had a rash and she would use that as an excuse to do it.
Oh, wow. And did you ever want to tell someone? Did you tell someone? How did you feel about that? Because I know people out there are listening that have that issue going on right now.
Right. And as a kid, you probably don't understand what's going on.
I didn't understand it for 10 years. I actually learned about it on a documentary on TLC with Erin Moritz.
Wow.
So I told my mom about a week after I remembered the instance when I was about 17.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized that it had happened more times. And as I was writing, I actually remembered more instances.
Wow.
So, but when I was little, she threatened me with so much physical harm that I actually pretty much blocked it out until I was older.
Yeah, you repressed that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no kid is prepared for something like this, you know. And I can imagine this leaves a permanent mark on you. I mean, you're saying you're having difficulties and stuff. This caused you, but your dad died when you were 10, so he didn't know about this when this was going on, right?
No, unfortunately, I've had criticism from a lot of people and say that he should have, but unfortunately, there was no way to tell. They even did rape kits on me, but there's no way to test for a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he didn't, but he apologized for what he didn't know about. So that's why he used his handprint as a symbol.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, to discover something like this about your child is devastating, you know, and especially if it's a family member and things like that. And that's usually the case, right? I mean, it's often like people that are close to you, you know, because strangers can't really get that close to you. But people that know you, family, relatives, you're totally unprepared and vulnerable.
And they're part of your family, so you feel betrayal, I bet. I mean, I assume if you go through that, I mean, that you would go against your family member. It's so confusing.
I actually never really trusted her, honestly. Wow. I had met her 3 or 4 times before she moved, before my dad moved in with her. So there's a letter, I wrote a letter in the Younger Me series. There's, I think, 2 or 3 in there. And one of them says, you haven't met her very many times, but in the few times that you have met her, you were wary of her, and you were wary for a good reason.
Whoa.
So honestly, I really never trusted her, but I didn't have a choice
right.
but to be home with her.
That's right.
Time.
You were I mean, so that's your instinct there, that you just felt something was wrong.
Yeah. I felt that it was off within the first few days. Wow. I was actually sexually abused within 2 days of being at her house for the first time.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy stuff. Have you had a chance to confront her about this since then?
I have not yet, but I would if there was proper security around.
Right.
And honestly, I would just tell her that you didn't break me.
Yeah.
You didn't stop me. You tried, but you didn't.
I survived. Yeah, look at me.
Wow.
That's right. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
you.
Well, I don't know if she was trying to break you. I mean, she was obviously being just very selfish, don't you think? Or do you think she purposely harmed you?
I think it was a hate crime. She
really?
Used to always say that she used to call my mom horrible names and my stepdad racial slurs.
Uh-huh.
And she just generally hated me. So I think in her case, it was a hate crime.
Wow. And even as a kid, you picked up on that energy. I mean, as you said, you felt that right away.
The only thing I really described with her is her eyes. And I remember this blank stare that never changed.
Oh, God.
It was just this consistent blank stare.
Nothing behind it.
No.
No. Wow. That is a lot for a child to
it
go
really
through.
Is. You know, I mean, it's 7, 8 years old.
Oh, my God, because it's like an archetypal evil that she's seeing. So there's also stuff about bullying. Do you mind if we go into that a little bit?
No, not at all.
So tell me, how were you bullied? What was the I was bullied, too. I hate, oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
The bullying is kind of an interesting part of the story. There's, like, basically 2 parts. So the first part started in, like, 5th or 6th grade, where it was harassment, and then it got physical in 6th grade, but it was dealt with and it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to a new school in 7th grade. And now this school is where I ended up getting 2 death threats within 2 months.
Oh my God.
We lived in Tucson where Gabrielle Giffords was shot, and this kid told me that the same guy was going to come after me. What?
Oh my word.
And
well, had you done anything? Why? It was just that you were a new kid?
No, I wasn't a new kid. I'd been at school for about 6 months and actually formed a relationship with a really amazing teacher who I still keep in contact with. His name was Mr. White in the book. I don't have permission to use his name, so I changed it for him. But I didn't want to leave. So I ended up having to do online school from the middle of 7th grade till 8th grade. And then I went half a year in 8th grade, and it happened again from the same kid. And then, so, till freshman year, I had to do online school. Freshman year was bully-free, and then as soon as we moved, I got bullied again. And by senior year, it got physical.
Oh.
Wow, that's pretty tough.
To the point of where I had broken bones. Like, I had 3 internal impact fractures in my back with torn ligaments and musculature issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's enough to make you look bitter about life, I guess, you know? But you still, you sound like a survivor to me. And, yeah. So is the book written like a journal? Or is it a story?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. So were you keeping journal at the time, too?
It actually kind of stems from the idea that I initially wanted it to look like the current journal that I have.
Uh-huh.
But, I ended up mixing the idea just because it was kind of expensive to print line paper and stuff like that. So I just decided to go with however the book was going to be written.
Right.
I had a basic idea of a traditional memoir combined with poetry because I was actually a poet growing up. And then I just started to write narratives when I was about 10 or 11.
So you've always been a writer.
And
you've always been a writer.
I've been writing for 13 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It started off when I was 5, and then around 8 or 9, teachers started to notice that I had a knack for it, and I didn't really know. I didn't really take it into account. I was 9, and then I wrote Lost in a Young Life on January 9th of this year, and I had written some other poetry, and I'm like, okay, there's something in here that I want to share. And the publisher said yes 5 months the day before the release date.
Wow.
So it just ended up being written like a journal, no numerical separation. I used quotes instead of numerical separation, no page numbers or no index. So it's really read like a journal.
Wow. Wow.
Very interesting stuff. So do you have a website where people can find out more? Where can they get the book?
The book is on the Barnes & Noble supply list. You can go on their website or request it in their store. You can go on Amazon for $14.95 paperback or $3.99 on Kindle.
Okay.
My Facebook page is at The Newfound Legacy, one word, capital T, capital N, and capital L. And the Ivy Lane Press website, who's the publisher, you can also find it on there. It's one of their featured books.
That's awesome.
You sound so mature, doesn't she?
I know.
Yeah, I know it's from living that kind of, but you know, prayers and amen to you. You sound like such a intelligent survivor, so strong.
Right.
It makes you grow up. Thank
you so much. Oh, please.
I guess it makes you grow up fast, you know, when you have to live in an adult world that can be so cruel sometimes.
And then to have the bravery to open up to try and get others, and to anyone to talk about this ends that stigma. So good for you.
Thank you. The one thing that I encourage people to do, and you guys actually caught on to it without me telling you to do it, is saying thank you for being a survivor instead of I'm sorry that the abuse happened.
Right. You're not the victim.
Saying I'm sorry makes the person feel like a victim.
That's right.
But they're not.
That's right. Good for you.
There you go. Well, Elena Gorski, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Everybody go out and get the book, The Newfound Legacy. A heartbreaking story, really. And
but a story of survival, huh?
Right, and you're still so young. You still have a lot ahead of you, and I imagine it's going to be a lifetime of healing. You know.
Yes, I can't wait to read poetry. You should do poetry. I would love to read that.
That is in the book. So
there you go.
There's a lot of poetry in there.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, Elena. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All the best to you, and much success in your career.
Thank you. It's my honor.
Okay. Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Wow, you know, people go through so much, you know.
She sounded like an old wizard soul. That was
right?
Brilliant.
I mean, can you imagine going through this stuff at 11? I mean, at that young age, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom was very, very ill when I was young, so I have that. There's a sense of very confusing. It's very confusing because you don't know what's real, what's not real, how scary, what's scary. So, yeah. I mean, hers was 10 times worse. I'm just saying, when you're confused as a young person, it's very... the memories are very dysfunctional and sort of it prepares you for a harder life, you know?
Yeah. I think everybody gets screwed up in their childhood.
Heck
and then
yes.
That's what life's about. Yeah. And then you spend the rest of your life trying to deal with it.
In therapy.
Know? Yeah. Or whatever, you know?
Or
if
whatever.
You don't learn your lesson, you keep coming back.
That's right. My Buddhist teacher, I listened to Pema Chodron, and she says, everybody wants ground under their feet. And it's when you realize that you will never, ever, ever have ground that you can be free of suffering.
Yeah.
There's never going to be any ground.
No, because...
Ever.
Yeah, because that's not the meaning of life, you know?
No, but we all want it.
We come here to work.
That's it.
Yeah. Life would be boring if we just were on yachts all day.
I don't know. I would love that.
Yeah, right?
I would love that. Like, love.
No, but eventually, I'm telling you, eventually people have the drive to create things.
Of course. The ambition.
To do things. Yeah, you know?
Even cavemen drew paintings on the walls.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And went hunting and all that stuff. Yeah. Did you ever see the movie, what was it called? Like an old movie called Quest for Fire?
No.
It was like, that was back in the 70s. And it was about the caveman.
Oh, wow.
So there was no dialogue. They were just like sort of like talking to each other in their own language.
Whoa.
You know?
But how long is this movie? That sounds fantastic.
It was 2 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah. But the part I remember about this is the female going to the river to wash and he just mounts her from behind.
Oh, great. This is when you have an edible.
Yeah.
That's what you want
to ask.
He just mounts her. That's
yeah, he
movie.
Just took it from behind. Didn't ask her anything.
There you go. Well,
you know?
No. There, I was reading about, in the New York Times science section, about fire and how people, there's a new book out because they say when we created controlled fire, we changed from animals to sort of more human because then there was organization and communities and we cooked the raw food and got more calories and then men could hunt and the women came around the fire. So there's a lot to do with fire, but it's a new scientific discovery that we have a gene that is saves us from smoke inhalation that causes cancers in a lot of animals, which is, we think, it's so nerdy. I just went on this long thing. Anyway, that we adapted to being in a close-knit fire. This is so lame.
Really?
But it's cool to me.
Yeah. No, it is.
Catching fire, it's called.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, fire is a very important very interesting thing. If you remember the movie, what was it? Updraft? No.
Backdraft. Hell yeah.
Thank you. Backdraft.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you really got to learn about fire in that movie. Yeah. Oof. Backdraft. That's right. Didn't they do a ride like this at Universal? Yeah, they did have something.
That's terrible.
Where they were filming it, yeah. But that was a long time ago. We're dating ourselves here, or I am at least.
Front draft.
Yeah. So while we're here, no guests in the studio today. We're going to have a lot of guests coming up, though. We have had studio guests. We're going to continue to have them. It's often like a mix, you know. You never really know. But we're going to have a lot of interesting people coming up in the coming weeks. So that should be fun.
Nice.
There was a couple things here. They're talking about taste in music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a specific music you like, or do you like any music?
I have kind of a shitty taste in music, to be super
Why is
honest.
It shitty?
Because I like pop music.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Because it's not nuanced or interesting. My husband has like a vinyl collection, and this man can play music by ear, and I'm like, let's hear more Katy Perry. I mean, it's dreadful taste. But I like, and I also like country music.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
And I just really do. And so I am admittedly have shitty taste in music.
Well,
what
I
do
don't
you,
know.
What do you like music?
I don't know if there's such a thing as shitty music.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, I like a lot of different kinds. I mean, there's stuff I don't like, but I do like pop and rock mm-hmm. and things like that, you know?
My husband went to the Radiohead concert, and I was like, oh, I would never go. I want to be a person that would go, but I'm not cool enough. No.
So there's a new study that says that your taste in music has more to do with the culture around you than how your brain is wired.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is pretty interesting, because you would think, you know, it's probably my brain and stuff, but... it has to do, I guess they studied some Amazonian society that suggests that musical tastes are cultural in origin.
Interesting.
Yeah, so...
I love Barbara Streisand, and I'm Jewish.
There you go. You know,
I love her.
And I didn't grow up liking her, but I like her music
Babs,
now.
Babs, man.
But then, again, not all of her music.
No,
so,
I'm specific
right?
people.
Yeah.
People who love
She
it.
Did a couple of albums with Barry Gibb, and I like that
one.
Because I love Barry Gibb a lot.
There you go.
Everything he's written. And in fact, on Facebook, they have this thing now where you can get into a drawing where you would get to rehearse with him in his recording studio in Miami. I mean, that would be like a dream come true for me. I would like sell my left testicle for something like that. But
how much would you?
So I would do that.
Think you would get how much for real? Sam's left ball. How much would we get?
I don't know, but if it got me into the studio, I would do it.
Barry Gibb's like, I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a ball. Yeah, no, but I love this guy. He's extremely talented. I met him at least to say hi after one of their concerts when the Bee Gees were performing. So that was fun. But I never believed I would win anything. So I don't. Into these things, you know.
Yeah,
maybe I should.
Hey, I mean, I'll play the lottery when it's like $8,000,000,000.
Right.
I'm like, it's gonna be me.
Yeah, right.
It's for some reason.
When it's only gonna... 1,000,000, you don't bother,
no,
right?
No, who wants a million?
Exactly.
You can't get anything from it.
That's play money.
Yeah, that's Monopoly money. That's right. No, I think it's funny when people play the lottery because it's like you're probably more likely to get struck by lightning on the way to buying the ticket.
Yeah.
Scientifically.
Right.
But I'm like, it's still going to be me. That's just still. It's going to be me. It's never been me.
Yeah.
But then there's those shows that show people who win the lottery, and man, do they have, they can go downhill.
Yeah. And many of them do, right?
They self-destruct, it's like a curse. Man. Oh, yeah.
You don't know what to do with all that money.
Because I would know.
I think people change their attitude towards you, and that's why, you know.
It's the families and the friends. Everybody comes out of that woodwork.
You can't trust anybody anymore, you know.
All of a sudden, yes.
Messes them up, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so
money
imagine
can't buy you happiness.
Yeah. Imagine being rich and famous, you know.
Every
you never
day.
Know who's around you
that's
for
right.
you.
That's right.
Yeah. People just want to hang out. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm with this guy. I'm with that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd rather be like Joan Cusack. You know, she.
Yes.
Because she's always lovely and people are excited when she's in a movie, but you never see like paparazzi around Joan Cusack. You know what I mean? That's the kind of celebrity
true, right?
I want to be. She gets to live her freaking life, but she's, you're like, oh, she's in this movie. Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I haven't seen her in one in a while.
No,
has she been in anything?
I think she's coming up in something. Man, I love her. Such a strange
wow.
person. Yeah.
And so, is she the sister of Joan Cusack?
Oh, yeah. And they're in a lot of movies together.
Yeah,
John
right?
and Joan. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, I know. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, a lot of things happening. Yeah, so we were just talking about music, you know, and I thought, you know, because we had a conversation here some time ago with a musician, a recording, a record producer, whatever he was, and... yeah, he was doing mastering of music. That's what it is. And, you know, I asked him, I said, do you agree that really the best music was written in the 60s and 70s?
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, you could say that, but you also have to remember that music is the soundtrack of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So for the young people, their music is going to last,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, you know, I mean, the Led Zeppelins and Pink Floyds and all these and the Elton Johns, they're going to last forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the ones now will too, you know?
Yeah,
that's
true.
I can't see Kanye West or Katy Perry, you know, being like remembered as classics in 30, 40 years, but maybe
Yeezy.
They will.
I think so.
With this,
absolutely.
This generation will.
Lorne Michaels, the head of SNL, always says he could... When someone comes up to him, he goes, I know your favorite part of SNL, which season? And it's always when you were in high school.
Right.
So it's always like, whatever you were in high school is like your favorite music.
Music.
You know what I mean?
Right?
And
that's
you're like,
true.
Well, this is classic.
Yeah.
I had like the 90s.
Yeah. Because you really connect to music
oh,
in
yeah.
your teens,
and it brings
right?
you right back. I mean, she was talking yeah. about Vivid Memory. That music will get you. You remember the shirt you were wearing and the smell of the grass that you were making
right.
out on
that's
when
true.
You hear a piece of music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love music. You know, I mean, I go on Spotify, keep bumping into old songs that I forgot about that are amazing. So, yeah.
My dad always, we always played Motown.
Yeah.
Oh, the best.
Motown was great, yeah.
If you're ever doing, if anyone here is listening and they're planning a wedding, just have Motown at the wedding because everybody dances. It's
that's
the
true,
best.
Right? Yeah.
The best.
Supremes and Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, Marvin Gaye is the family suing Ed Sheeran for his song today. They for the song, I have to look it up.
Which
one? It's very exciting. The one that I always sounds, it sounds just like a Marvin Gaye song. Well, now they're suing for copyright infringement.
Really?
Yes. Here it is.
Like what, sexual healing or...
that's
what's
for Thinking
going
Out
on?
Loud. It's Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. It's Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Let's get it
get
on.
It on. Yeah.
So they're suing. I always said, man, those two sound the same.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, now they're suing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of songs sound alike,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
then people don't do anything about it. And some songs is just plain ripped off.
Yeah, this one was like, I thought he sampled it, and it would be mentioned, like, and, you know, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye, but he just ripped it.
Yeah.
Like, the chords are identical.
I know, that's what they do, you know,
yeah.
with a lot of rap music and stuff. They
yeah.
just take somebody else's music. I thought they pay for it, but they don't.
Sometimes when you sample, you do, but it's interesting, because music is a lot of sampling of other music,
right.
and then it just goes up the generations, yeah.
Right, yeah, go figure what's legal, what's not,
mm-hmm.
you know.
True.
We have to deal with it here at the radio station all the time.
I was going
to
say, did I?
When we
I
play
say
music,
people.
no. When we say when we play music, you know, we have license and everything, but you can play it live, but you can't archive it and all that kind of stuff. So you really have to be careful out
yeah.
there because people own the rights. Don't just use anything, you know?
We did a carpool karaoke for my mother-in-law, which is so ridiculous.
Really?
And we did it to Run Around Sue, and we put it on YouTube for her to see it for her birthday, and they took it down immediately
because
of the copyright. Like, someone noted. I was like, oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Wow. But people post a lot of music.
Yeah,
but there, right?
YouTube catches on pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you're using too long of a song or anything like that, they'll catch on.
Right. Wow. Yeah. They, I know, sometimes, you know, when we have a video show and we post it and then somebody else tries to post it, it tells you, you know, it's already up there.
You're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. I mean, but they better with, like, millions of videos all the time, you know. It's, my God, you know, so much. So that's that. Let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump. I mean, because he's getting out of hand, really.
Yeah.
The New York Daily News is calling him to quit. It says this isn't a joke anymore. When Trump hinted gun rights supporters shoot Hillary, he went from offensive to reckless. He must end his campaign. If he doesn't, the GOP needs to abandon him.
Yeah.
That's what the Daily News of New York says. But, you know. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what he said yesterday.
So I mean,
I heard the part about the Second Amendment, but I didn't hear the part about the shooting Hillary.
Yeah, well, he implied it, basically. Here's the quote. So yesterday he was talking at a rally, and he went off script, and you can tell in that look in his eye when he's about to say something real dumb, and people are going to be like, yeah! Anyway, this is the quote. He said, Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. And so and so the CIA, the former chief said, you'd be in the back of a police car if you were not the,
really?
Yeah. So and the Secret Service, for the first time in history, tweeted, because so many people were saying this was a direct threat to, you know, an assassination, and they wrote, the Secret Service on Twitter wrote, the Secret Service is aware of the comments made earlier this afternoon. So they're either aware, they're probably going to have a meeting with him. That's insanity to me.
It really is.
That's when you become a fascist and you've asked for harm, when you've become violent. He has never gone to where he incites violence.
Right,
and now
right.
It's like, oh, God.
I know. What his story is, I have no idea.
I know.
But he's definitely hijacked the Republican nominee.
Yeah, and Paul Ryan is just like, oh, it was a joke.
Yeah, right. I mean, what do? You know, you're the speaker. You have to support the nominee.
Well, 50,
but,
you know, Republicans.
But he's got such distaste for him.
I know. I feel bad because he is sort of in a rock and a hard place. But, man, for the rest of his political credibility, he better say, I'm out.
Yeah.
He's no longer going to be electable.
Right.
He looks like a little boy who can't make up his mind. But that was just absurd. And I know it probably was a joke. And he said the defense was, I was saying the Second Amendment people could come together as like a community and boycott so she doesn't become president. But the quote says she'd be electing a Supreme Court. So she already is president in that quote.
Right.
So it's not a well-defended quote. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe he's self-sabotaging. Maybe he's trying to...
Yeah, it sure
looks like it. What else is he going to do?
Yeah, unless he's really, really stupid.
Yeah,
unless
he's just trying to get out of it, you know?
Yeah, maybe he is, you know? I don't know. Maybe he just really, like people say, wanted to see how far he can get.
Yeah,
you know?
I still think, I told you the first day, I hope Ashton Kutcher's like, y'all been punked.
Yeah.
It's all a joke.
Yeah, but then we get Hillary, which half of us are not happy about.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
All right.
This country is so divided, though, right?
It is polarizing.
Right.
Very.
But wouldn't you attribute some of that to Obama, though? I mean, he is president right now.
I have to say, and I live in Washington, D.C., the amount of rejection that he got on any type of bringing the country together from the Congress, he couldn't make anything happen. And I blame that a lot on Congress. And they're still blocking his Supreme Court nominee. So I think he came up and has already said out loud, I didn't realize how much I'd be blocked by the Republican Party.
Right. But you're talking more politics. I'm thinking more like, you know, black and white, things like that, you know. Like
a lot of people have said he hasn't done enough for the black community to bring the black and white community together. I think he's an impossible place. I don't know how, but I understand people that wanted him to do more. I hear that, and I recognize that. I don't know how much more he could have done with the Congress, but I hear that he could have done more.
Yeah.
But I think he did his best.
Okay.
And I think he's smooth. Yeah. By the way, the Prime Minister of Canada was seen shirtless yesterday. Check him out, guys.
Really?
Justin Trudeau. C'est très bien. Woo-wee.
Wow.
Yeah. He and... Whew,
How old is he? Like in his 40s, 50s?
Yeah, but he's, you know, and then there was a wedding going on and he sort of photobombed by accident his shirtless self. Oh, what a great photobomb.
Wow.
Very handsome man.
Very interesting.
Trudeau.
Yeah. I don't know. We always start bringing up those politics right before we have to
know.
So I'll have to do it in the beginning, you know. But that's the thing, you know. I mean, look, in politics we can sit and talk, but... The bottom line is nobody changes minds. You know, people are always entrenched in their opinions.
Right, but at least we're having like an intelligent debate as opposed to
absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah. Although sometimes I want to call the president names, but he is the president. You know.
See, even you, Sam, has respect. There you go.
You have to.
You have to give some to Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Lord.
But... yeah, I don't know what Trump is doing, but he's totally like handing Hillary the election.
Yeah, every day I come in, I'm like, I can't wait to talk to Sam about this stupid thing that happened. Every day.
I know.
Like terrible. I walked in, I go, did you hear about Trump? And you go, which one?
Yeah. I know, yeah. Which one did he say today?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the last couple of minutes, I just wanted to give condolences to the family of Guy Tao. Now, Guy is a host here on the show, on the station, and he died yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He's 58 years old. He's done a show here for 7 years called Relevant Music and Muse. A musician, often, by his own admission, was homeless.
Wow.
You know, he just was living off of his music. But then, later on, he wised up a little bit. He got jobs. He started getting back on his feet and everything. And bam, he just was gone, you know.
I'm so sorry.
And it's hard. Yeah, I mean, we're like very devastated because I just saw him 3 days
Isn't
ago.
Isn't that the weirdest?
Know?
That's
it
the
is.
Weirdest
it's so weird, too. Right? And people just drop like flies, you know.
It's just terrifying.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention him and give him a little tribute.
Absolutely.
A lot of people on Facebook are shocked and stuff. I mean, when someone dies before their time,
no, it's
shocking,
it's
you know?
Shocking, yeah.
It really is, you know. And I don't know how much family he had, but I'm sure there's going to be a eulogy and everything. So I hate funerals.
Yeah.
I hate funerals, but I'll probably go to this one.
Yeah,
I
just
think.
For respect.
Yeah, for respect. It's like... you know, you figure it's a person's last chance for people to get together and stuff.
My rabbi always said 99% of life is just showing up.
Right.
Just show up.
Right.
And that's
exactly
important.
And people don't.
No.
A lot of people don't show up, or they show up late, and they can kiss my ass when they do. I hate when people are late.
No. No good.
Yeah. Well, Tori, that's it for today.
Right on.
Tomorrow we have another studio guest, so stay tuned with us, folks. Thank you all for listening always, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.